Welcome to Write Your Book Your Way, the interview series that goes behind the scenes of real self-published books to explode the myth that there's a right way to write your book and give you the freedom to write in a way that feels good to you and gets it finished. I'm Chris Emery, owner and lead editor at Chris Emery Editorial, and I'll be interviewing my past clients, all first-time non-fiction writers and entrepreneurs, to show you how it can be done. That means how it could be done, not how it should be done. Today, I'm talking with my dear friend, Anik Ina, who I worked with as editor on her book about 5 years ago. And since then, she has become a book dowler herself and provides professional self-publishing services for authors and aspiring authors. And that means that she helps people with book coaching to cover design, formatting to publishing, pre and post launch marketing to crowdfunding. I was so excited to work with her on Soul Superstar, and she went through such a journey that she actually got into being a behind the scenes person in the book world. That is how transformational her book became. Let's have a listen to what she has to say.
So let's kick off with Anik, and I want to welcome you today and just say hi. We talk all the time, but for the sake of this interview, hi.
Hi.
So we're going to dive straight into the questions that I have for you. This series called Write Your Book Your Way is all about going behind the scenes of how you wrote your book to show everyone out there that there's no right way to do it. So the first question really sets the scene. So I just want to know how your book that you wrote, which is Soul Superstar, that we edited a couple of years ago, relates to your business. And this is a super juicy question for you because your business has actually changed because of your book. So let's dive in.
This is such an interesting question to start with. Soul Superstar relates to my business right now in two different ways. Well, first of all, the story itself, which was my story of how I quit alcohol and what happened afterwards and my journey afterwards, led to me getting visible because of that. But because I had done so much research around the book, around book writing, publishing, and all of that stuff, I didn't want to keep it to myself and waste all of that. So I started helping people here and there to write their stories and to publish their books. And 2 years, well, 3 years later, I am now doing this full time. I'm actually helping people write and publish and promote their books. So yay.
And to everyone watching, just a heads up, Anik and I collaborate all the time. So we'll try and keep you up on all of those things that we have going on together. And it all started from me editing Anik's book. So I just wanted to say that straight up, because this interview, while it's in the series that I've got going on, you might get some very different insights or some much different riffing between us, just because we're super familiar with each other and super familiar with each other's style of working and that kind of thing. So next question is, I would love to know how you came to the decision of starting to write the book. So what made you actually sit down and start, which is slightly different from where you came up from the idea. What made you like, okay, this is it, I need to sit my bum in the chair and I need to get the words out?
I love that. Yeah, I think like many writers, for years and years, people kept saying, oh, you should write a book. And I myself thought I should write a book. And I got to this point where it may sound a bit weird or woo-woo or anything, but I had this knowing, this inner knowing, this calling. It's like, yeah, it's time to write your book. And I remember that day saying a clear, okay, I'm gonna do it. And I kind of started writing my book. I kind of started writing chapters from there, but it kind of fizzled out because I didn't have the structure, I didn't have a plan, and well, we've talked about that a lot of times. But the real moment I sat down, like literally said, okay, this is it, this is gonna be it, is it was led by me getting to this place of really not feeling good anymore about where I was at in my personal life and my journey. And I knew it was because there I had like skeletons in the closet, and I knew that the only way to make peace with that was to open that closet, take all the skeletons out and sort everything out. And for me, because I'm a writer, the way to do that would be to write about it. So I just booked a retreat. I call it my self-led retreat. I just booked a place, well, a ticket, went somewhere where I knew I would have time to myself. And I just decided, okay, I'm going to write for all the time that I'm going to be there. And that's what I did.
Awesome. And I just want to pick up on that there, because I talk all the time about there being a difference between writing for yourself and publishing. And I'd like to explore that, because they can come together in a really beautiful way, in a really beautiful book. But there is definitely writing that you keep to yourself that's very raw, or writing that comes from that raw place but that is healed and ready to share. So do you want to talk a little bit about that?
Yes. So first of all, I totally agree with you. And with the work that I do, and we've had those conversations, there is an immense value in writing your story out, whether you publish it or not. But obviously, if you want to publish your book, that writing, your story itself, needs to have some sort of direction or some sort of purpose. And when I look at my own story, there was stuff that I wrote in my book that was, well, that didn't make the final cut, because it was, and I know we had these conversations when you were editing my book, you were like, oh, this is more like journaling and this doesn't really belong inside the book. And I think that when you write because you need to write your story, that's great, but that makes a great, Brené Brown calls it the shitty first draft. So, well, I know someone else called it that way, but I remember she called it that way, the shitty first draft. It's just the first version, the first iteration of what could then become your published book. It's like this big bowl of something that then, if you want to take it out to publish, then you just start and chisel it and turn it into something publishable. But there is a difference between writing for healing, for your own healing, and then writing for publishing. And even though it makes sense to you, your story might not always make sense to others. And that's where I guess
That shape your, is really important.
Yeah.
Because we know every single detail of our lives because we've lived the whole thing, and we make so many assumptions that people are on the same page as us, which is a really huge part of what I do in editing, like giving it that mirror, that reflection, just to say, okay, where are you going with this? Because you haven't introduced this whole thing to the reader, or you're saying this here, but the reader doesn't know the background to that, and it just came out of the blue. So there's so much of that that comes into content editing. And that's a really good point, like the whole shaping of it and the crafting of it comes after that first draft gets out. But of course, the book wouldn't be the book that it becomes if that story hadn't been in there in the first place, because that's how the book evolved in the first place. And it needed to be written, it needed to get out, because otherwise that could actually become a block to your creativity, you know, if that story gets lodged and, you know, it prevents the flow. So, yeah. Love it. Okay, we talk about this stuff all the time, guys. So we could be here all day if I don't push on. So I'm trying to be really efficient with the questions. So let's just get into quite a general question, but I know that you'll talk specifically about how you went about it because of your retreat and the way that you did it. But what was your writing process? And if you want, you can even contrast the way that you did it when it fizzled out to the way that you did it when you made it happen, and even contrast that to the way you do it now with having from the book, if you want to share all of that stuff.
Absolutely. So the way I did it the first time, I think I wrote about 11 chapters. It was,
which is no, that is no small thing. Like you talk about it fizzled out and you didn't have a plan and a shape to it, but like 11 chapters is quite a long way through in comparison to some false starts. Like I've got a number of drafts on my computer that are like the first couple pages of something or an outline of something. So like let's be completely clear here. This is a valid process in its own right, and it might not just work for you.
Absolutely. And I don't believe in mistakes. I believe in lessons. So that was what I needed to know, that then I needed an outline and a plan. But the way it looked like was more kind of waiting for inspiration. And then when that inspiration came, I would usually voice it and then transcribe it. And because I didn't have a plan of where it was going, of what I wanted the book to look like, I just wanted to let stuff out. At a certain point, at that chapter 11, I realized that I had no idea where this was going. And all it looked like was me kind of boohoo me and wink, wink. And I was like, how is that going to serve anyone? Why? I don't want to be writing like a whole book of, oh, this is what happened to me and this is what I did. Exactly.
Yeah.
I know it was about looking at all the things that I hadn't healed and all the shame and all the guilt that I had, but I didn't want to write the big bad book of guilt.
But so, how necessary was that to the final, yeah, exactly what we were just talking about, right?
Yes. And so the way I did it the second time was that, first of all, I was like, okay, this is how I wanted to start, and that's how I got the idea of the Soul Superstar, who was this person, this soul that then knew that all of those bad things that had happened were for a greater purpose, were part of the journey, so we were going somewhere positive. So I sat down and I put all of the stories on paper, and this is, and then I ordered them, and this is how my outline came up. And then logistics wise, what I did was that every day or every writing day, if you're not writing in a day to day on a daily basis, every day I would wake up, take my outline, look at what I want to write, start writing. I wrote by hand. So I would write as much as I wanted, then have lunch, after lunch, voice type what I had just written, and then spend the afternoon editing that chapter, because voice typing can be really weird. So that's what I do, and that's what I did, you know, wash, rinse, repeat every day for 14 days. That's how my first book was written.
Yeah. And
my current book.
What, before you move on, sorry.
Yeah.
You move on, there's just a few little things about the writing process that you love to talk about when it comes to your rituals. And I know that you played particular music that said to yourself, you know, this is my writing time. It kind of just automatically got your brain into that space. So, maybe you're going to come onto this, because I know that you also still do this now, but would you mind talking about that as well?
No, not at all. I just love, I could talk ages about writing, so not at all. I believe the way I work is my mind is really sensitive to everything happening around me. So I need to create a container. I need to create something for my mind to stay on track. So rituals are what work for me. And what this means, whenever I've written, what this means is that my days will look the same. It usually looks like me getting up, going to make tea, sitting at the table, and then sometimes I would involve music, sometimes I would just, depending on how much I want to write, because sometimes I'd wake up in the morning and be like, oh my god, I can't wait to start writing. And sometimes I'd be like, oh, I'm not so sure what I'm gonna write today. But it would also be, it would always be wake up, make some tea, sit at the table and start writing, and then lunch, and then voice type, and then editing. And this way my brain didn't have that space to wander and be like, oh, maybe we can do this and maybe we can do that. And this is also the reason why I cannot write if I've got something else planned for the day, because my brain is like looking at what's going to happen next. And
interesting. So you mean anything more planned later in the day, or anything at all planned that day that you've done in the morning?
I'd say anything at all.
Yeah.
Because if I know that if I know that I have something coming, my inspiration feels like, but is there really space for me to come out now? Or maybe I'm going to be cut off at some point. And so it's like, I'm not so sure.
Okay, this is so interesting, because some writers and writing coaches advocate a daily writing practice, and it doesn't work for me at all. I've tried it. I just, it's not me. And my pace is much better if I'm doing like something every week, but a really good chunk of time, because it takes a while for me to get into it. And I find that a nice 3 or 4 hour writing block, like a half day, is a really nice amount of time. But that's why I'm asking everybody about their writing processes, because of the differences and how people who advocate for one type of way of writing or one type of template or pattern or anything like that, I really disagree with them. And they're probably doing it because their way is the only way they've known, so they're teaching people their way. Rather than, it's really fascinating being an editor who's worked with so many writers, all of whom have come to the same point of handing over their draft in as many different ways as there are different authors. And and I get to see that. So I really want to give people a feel for this. So it's really cool that you can even like back up, you know, the reason why you need it to be that way, because of that self-knowledge. So that's really, really valuable.
But I think also what I can say, and it made me laugh when you said blocking half a day, is that the way I have been writing my third book is that sometimes half a day is what would take me to get in the flow. So, because sometimes, you know, you've got resistance when you're writing, especially if you're writing about your own story, you will get resistance and you'll be very tempted to think about everything but what you need to write about. And I know that's the way I am, and that's why I need to allow time for that as well to happen.
You are such a sensor, as we call it in PH360, which is my health program that I belong to. I'm such a diplomat. For me, it's all about the environment. Like, I need views, an expansive like space, all this time just to like be really, really chill about it, and you know, no clutter. Yeah, so love it. Okay, so let's move on. And all of my questions, you might notice, are also in the order of the timeline, so you'll be really familiar with that too. How did you know when you were finished?
You know when you're finished when you, well, first of all, you know you have this, just like you know it's time to start, you will know it's like, okay, done. But you also know it's really, I don't know if you're going to ask this question, but there is still some writing that is done during the editing process, the rewrites, as we call it. And I know that it's worked for myself, and I know it's worked for it's the sign that my clients as well go through, and I'm like, oh, your book is done, is when they're like, oh, I can't look at it anymore.
Did you get that from me or did I get that from you? I can't even remember anymore, but like, it's the point that everyone seems to get to, like, I am so done looking at this. If I look at it anymore, I'm going to go offline. It's time to hand it over to the editor. Like, it's a thing, right?
It is. And I had a client recently who said to me, is it normal that I don't want to look at it anymore? And I was like, girl, it is absolutely normal. This is when you know that you're done.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So, this is a huge question, really, considering your business has gone from what it was to coaching specifically around books. And I want to mention to everyone watching as well that you had coaching skills as well as communications background before you married those two things together in book and writing coaching. So it wasn't, you know, you wrote a book once and then you decided to coach around books. Like, I actually really, it's a big turn off for me when somebody who's written a book once then suddenly overnight is a writing coach. I want to like couch your skills very differently because you have this background. But my question is, what did you learn from writing and publishing a book? So a lot of the people I've spoken to in this series have been able to pick a couple of things, but it has exploded to be pretty much your entire business life. So I'll leave it to you how you answer that.
Well, I would say what I have learned is that, and I say that, I can't say that enough to people, is that the writing part is the easiest. And people who are in the writing part, they can't believe that this is true. But what I've seen, well, I've seen it for myself, and what I see for my clients is that the writing is really the easiest part. And that's why I also encourage people to really enjoy all of that, because this is where you can put as much you in it, because all the rest that is necessary, all the rewrites and all the publishing, the nuts and bolts of the publishing process are necessary, but they are not as enjoyable as the writing part, which is the biggest creative part. So that is the biggest lesson I've learned. And publishing, when you have a plan, when you know what you're doing, or when you're not basically winging it, can be a fun part as well. And the reason why I advocate for a plan is because there are so many things that, for myself, that I didn't know I didn't know. And I know that's the case for a lot of the first-time authors. There's so many things that you need to know, but you don't know you need to know until you're in it. And so if you don't allow time to take care of all of those things, it can get really stressful. So I think the other lesson is that publishing can be a really stressful process. It can be a really, really stressful process. So I'm glad
you just turned it into what you do all day every day instead.
But when it's not for you and when you know what you're doing, it's different. But I know I didn't really allow time by choice per se. I wanted to publish on my birthday, so that was easy. And it turns out between the time I sent the draft to you and my birthday, there were 4 months, which was perfect. But I've seen people think that once the draft is back from the editor, this is it, it's ready to be published. And
yes.
No.
I have encountered that a lot. Oh, sorry, I think that was a blip there.
Oh, no, I always say, I think what I've learned is that there's the publishing process is a process that requires time, not only for the process itself, for the technical things, but also because publishing a book, and I've seen it for myself, publishing my book came with promoting my book, because these two things go hand in hand. And for the promotion, and it's like planting a seed, and if you plant that seed, you need time for that seed to then come out of the earth, and you need to water it every day, and you can't express that process, you can't fast forward it. So I'm glad I did it the way I did, and I'm definitely allowing more time, as much time as possible, for my upcoming books. And in fact, I started talking about them and promoting them even before they were done, because why not?
Yeah, so important. And when you said there about the promotion and stuff taking time, some of the same visibility stuff comes up when you go to publish as does when you're sitting in your writing space and actually trying to get the words down, and it's all the same issue of your voice being heard, but it impacts every step of the way. Once you think you've dealt with writing blocks when you've written it, and then when you've let other people see the initial drafts and you've gotten some feedback and that kind of thing, but visibility will come up yet again when you're putting yourself out there, probably most when you're actually exchanging for it.
Yes, and I think it's funny you say that, because I remember, even though I had written a whole book about my story, even though I had it edited by you, I remember that very first time that I told people, okay, my book is ready to come out. It's scary, and there is so
buy
much
it, resistance. But don't buy it.
Exactly. Yes, definitely. And it's a whole process, and that's why, you know, you need time to allow yourself, the author, to be comfortable with that and to get over your own blocks, because you are going to step into your own way. It's very easy to happen.
Yeah.
So
support all that way. Next up, what opportunities came your way as an author that maybe wouldn't have come up if you hadn't?
Well, my most favorite one is that because I wrote the book, well, I don't know if it would have happened if I hadn't written the book, but I know that because I wrote my book, I reached out to Annie Grace, who's the author of This Naked Mind, the book I read that led me to quitting alcohol and that therefore led me to my whole journey with doing life without alcohol as my numbing tool of choice. And when my book was about to get published, I reached out to her and I said, hey, I actually wrote the book after reading your book. And she was super nice. She replied to me, and I remember being super fangirling her and being like, oh my god, did you just reply? Oh my god, oh my god, oh my god. And we ended up talking, and she offered to read my book. She actually wrote a review for my book. And I asked her if she wanted to write the foreword to my book, which she did. And because
such a generous lady, and so down.
Oh my god, she could be so nice while being where she was, in her business. Annie has really been very generous. I don't think there's any other word. And what she's done to this day because of my book. Then we started collaborating in a few ways. We did interviews, we did videos for her programs, for her free program. And she has a program called The Alcohol Experiment that has now 35,000 subscribers or members.
Nice.
And it's a 30-day program, and we did a video on day 6. And so every time I can see that in my Amazon sales, for example, every time I see peaks in my sales, that's when she is running her program again. Because people get in, they see, wow, my interview with her, and then they go buy my book.
That's so awesome, because not only has it created such an aligned collaboration, but it's also brought people back to the book itself. So
yeah,
you wouldn't have had the other opportunities, but those other opportunities are circular, you know? So the perfect alignment. So nice.
But then also in a general way, writing a book for myself, and I spoke about that a lot. Writing a book for myself gave me, it kind of undid, it kind of crossed off that story of, you know, I can hear my mom say, you always start things that you never finish. And so it really gave me a boost, and it helped me get rid of that story that I was telling myself, that I never finish something, that I can't do big things, that I don't follow through with stuff. Because writing a book and getting it out to being published is a huge thing, and I did it. So it helped me then think about, oh, if I did this big thing, what else can I do? And it really helped me revisit the limits that I had put to my own capability.
And the cool thing is, you do it almost without noticing. Because it's a solo pursuit, you're just pressing ahead with it day after day, but you're on your own. You haven't actually, apart from the things that you might be telling yourself, you don't have anyone stopping you sitting down and writing like 50,000 words. Like, actually, most people in most circumstances, and I don't want to make too many assumptions, because obviously we're very privileged people to have the support of others and to be financially secure and independent and that kind of thing, but it's free to sit down and write. It's more or less difficult, depending where you are at in your life, to find the time to do that, but there's not really any external input for a long way down the line when you're writing your book. So it's an internal battle for that first stage, first and very big stage, obviously. But yeah. So last thing I'd like to ask you is what you would do differently if you did it again. And I'm not even going to say if you did it again, not even when you do it again, but what are you doing differently this time around, now that you're in the process of more books?
I am doing something that we've spoken about so many times, which is finding the purpose for the book. Because I obviously, as a writer, I write to process stuff. And as I went through my, because I, when Annie Grace sent me her foreword, I went through my book, my manuscript again, and I edited some things out mostly, and I realized that this could have been written maybe a little bit, I'm not gonna say better, because that's where I was at then, but with hindsight and with 2 years that have happened and being further on my journey, I'm like, well, maybe I didn't need to talk about that. Maybe I didn't need to. What I want to do this time, what I'm doing this time, is not just writing for the purpose and the pleasure of write for the sake of writing, but it's where is this going? Where do I want this to go? And why, what is the person going to get? What is the reader going to get? What do I want the reader to get from this? And I think one of the questions that you asked in one of our masterclasses that I just love, 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 and that's been my guide, is if you close your eyes and imagine gifting that book to someone, who would it be and why? Why would they need to read that book? So I love telling stories. I love, obviously, talking. But there needs to be a purpose. What is that purpose? Because when you write a book, it is not just for it's an exchange. You write, but someone's going to read it. So yeah, you need to take into account that other party as well. There needs to be something in there for both people. And I didn't really take that into account when I first, not as much as I do now. And that finding that right balance of writing what you need to write, but then editing so that it fits the reader's fun journey, if you want to call it that way.
And I think I've also developed as an editor over the last few years, realizing that my job starts a long time before the editing part. So I've always, certainly before I was working with you, I've always asked my clients, you know, who is this for? Who's your ideal reader? But the depth that I go into that and the depth that we explore that now is definitely much, much more profound. And I've got other ways of asking those questions. And yeah, when you were talking about the book being an exchange, it comes back to this difference between publishing and writing for yourself. So a book is a piece of communication, and communication has a sender and a receiver, and the message, which is the book. And this receiver is so often not thought about when we're talking about creating books, because I think a lot of people think of them as a personal project in the beginning, and very, very attached to them, of course, understandably. But when we start thinking of it as an entity in its own right, and a lot of very successful writers do say, you know, this book is bigger than me, then we start getting into that stage where we're really looking at how it's being received, and yes, create from that place of sending the message. But then there is a stage of, okay, let's run this through the how is it going to be received filter and check in with who that person is and what you really want to say to them. So I'm really, really happy that actually that you revisited your original book, because it does just go to show that there are some things that can't be left to an editor. An editor is one external perspective. This kind of way of testing the concepts, but there's no such thing as perfect. This keeps coming up all the time at the moment. There is no such thing as your perfect book, because your book isn't finished and created yet, and there is a point where it has to be put out there. But there's always, with the passage of time, there's always things that we can go back and change. So the editor can make it as readable as possible and as beautifully written and, you know, also succinct mm-hmm. as possible, like as much richness in as short a space as we can. But at the end of the day, you're the writer. You have to make that call on what this entity is, what goes in, and really importantly, what gets left out. So also why the relationship between writer and editor is really important, because those sorts of conversations will come up, but they can't, you can't have that conversation about every single thing that's in there. So very, very subjective. Is there anything else that comes to mind that you want to add, or are we good? I've got no more questions. It's been so valuable.
I think I just want to stress out the importance again. I know I just said that, but I'm thinking about my current book that I started writing when I was actually at your place. I had my own little writing retreat at your place. But I really cannot say enough how precious the writing process is from a processing, healing, transformational point of view. And that is fine. Don't let your inner editor get in the way, thinking about what is the reader going to get from it and blah, blah, blah. Let your real human editor take care of that once you've done all the writing. So let these be two different processes, but do not take away from the writing, the transformational power of the writing, because you're thinking too much ahead. There needs to be some sort of balance, but allow yourself to write what you need to write. Yeah. And then maybe you'll have some work to do, and then the editor will take care of the rest.
Yes, the stages are really important. I don't think that's necessarily completely transparent from the start. And a lot of us are comparing our first draft, second draft, third draft with a book on the shelf, you know, because those are the books that we get to read in the end, and we have not seen all the work that's gone into making that book behind the scenes. And These books, they were first drafts too once, but you don't ever see that. So give yourself a break, because the writing is really something to treasure and enjoy. Thank you so much for joining us. That's a wrap. I'm really, really grateful for you being here today, and I will link you up all over the place in the post below. Thanks, guys. Thank you.